This is Jay Sekulow, another leftist power grab. This time, pack the court, but only under Democrats.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The next Democratic president needs to consider reforming the Supreme Court, potentially adding seats, potentially instituting term limits. What do you think of those ideas? Either of those appealing to you?
Well, they're interesting ideas that I would need to think more about. But I do think what President Trump has done with the judiciary is shocking and is so destructive.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think there are reforms that we could undertake that would make the Supreme Court less of an apocalyptic ideological battle every time that there's a nomination. One solution that could work would be to have 15 justices and only 10 of them appointed on a political basis. The other five would be rotated up from the appellate bench, and they would have to be justices that the other 10 could agree on. It takes the politics out of it.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's the newest plan. The newest plans is if the left in the Democratic Party, if the Democrats win the White House in 2020, here's the plan. Let's redo the Supreme Court in our own image, or at least in an image that we think is compatible with our worldview. How do we do that? Well, we change the rules. So instead of 9 justices on the Supreme Court, we allow 15. The new president gets to appoint those, and that says that. Now, this has been tried before. FDR tried this court packing when his New Deal was getting shot down by the courts. He devised a plan to engage in court packing, and that was to add justices to the Supreme Court. You heard in the open this idea of a rotating 5 coming up from the appellate bench. That will require a constitutional amendment. But that's how desperate they are right now because of their concern over the trajectory of the courts. But that's where elections have consequences, and you don't change the Constitution, in my view, to meet your political agenda, because you're really tinkering with the foundation of why we have lifetime appointments on the courts, for instance. And there's a reason for that, is to keep it out of the political process so they can make decisions and not worry about running for re-election as a justice of the Supreme Court or a federal judge, whether in the Court of Appeals or in the district court. But this is court packing. It's as old as the New Deal, the FDR's deal. But the truth is, and I think this is where you got to be very clear, what's the agenda here? The agenda is they don't like the direction the courts are going right now, Jordan.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Now, they are not willing to promote this as an idea for a total reform of the Supreme Court, regardless of partisan politics. And to me, that's where it reeks of just partisan, disgusting hypocrisy. The fact that we will only do this if we win in 2020. If we don't, oh, it should remain the same 9 that it's historically been since the last time it was increased many, many decades ago, if not more than a century ago. And so they will only promote this if a Democrat is present, and I'm sure if they have the majorities enough in the Senate or the House, in the Senate, to specifically get those new nominees confirmed so that they can shift the court this way. So it reeks of, again, a partisan play. And I want everyone to imagine right now, Republican Senate, could you imagine, and let's say President Trump wins re-election, takes back the House, has the Republican Senate, keeps control there, and he promotes the idea. Let's nominate 6 more justices. Let me nominate 6 more justices to the Supreme Court, and because it'll be pretty uniform in that way as well.
Can you imagine the reaction? I cannot even imagine the reaction. This would be end of the Republic as we know it. Harry, how significant is this attempt?
Well, this is a very significant power grab, and it reflects in no small measure President Trump's success in nominating and confirming 2 Supreme Court justices. Formerly, the left saw the Supreme Court as its ally in moving the nation in a particular direction. President Trump has nominated justices who believe in the rule of law and the Constitution. The left dislikes that.
And then quickly, we're going to get into judicial confirmation. A lot of vacancies right now.
Yeah, it's all politics, Jay. They're going to add seats if they win. Meanwhile, they're blocking seats from President Trump. Almost 17% of the federal judiciary, Jay, it's vacant.
You're approaching 20%. All right, we've got a lot to talk about. How important is the issue of judges to you? The issue of federal court judges as it relates to a president. How big of an issue is that for you? What are your thoughts on this? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
It's called court packing. So not satisfied with the two Supreme Court justices that the president has put forward, what you have right now is those on the left are saying if they get the House back, well, they've got the House, if they get the Senate, and if they get the White House, they're just going to add probably five justices to the Supreme Court to skew the balance of the court for two generations. So, by the way, FDR tried that, not successful. But again, This is the desperation issue. But I want to go to Washington to talk to Thane about where we are on judicial confirmations. And we have a petition up right now which just simply says confirm conservative judges now. And we want you to sign that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. But Thane, where are we on this issue? Judges are an important issue for the populace. I mean, it's a lasting legacy of any president.
Yeah, well, and if you look at the exit polling from the last election, Jay, clearly one of the reasons that President Trump was elected was to make these selections, and they're expecting the United States Senate to confirm them. I think there are two sides to this coin, Jay. On the positive side, there have been 89 judicial confirmations since President Trump took office. That is an historically high number. It is a great accomplishment from the president. But I would tell you that the United States Senate is the main reason, really the only reason, that that number is not a lot higher. Jay, we talked about this during the break, but there are currently 168 current or known future vacancies on the federal judiciary. That is approaching 20% of the federal judiciary that is vacant. And Jay, the reason for that is very, very simple. The United States Senate has been filibustering almost every nominee that comes before them. So it takes a lot longer to confirm them. We can get into how you fix that, but I would boil it down to this for now. Jordan talked about how the Democrats want to pack the court. They want to add more seats if they win. But Jay, they only want to do it if they win. In the meantime, what they are doing is the exact opposite. They are trying to keep as many of these seats vacant as possible. So if they take the White House and the Senate back, those seats can belong to nominees selected by the next president.
But you think to yourself that the fact is that the Republicans control the United States Senate.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so at this time, it would be the Democrats who have to have like a total victory to try and push their view. I think what's happened right now is that your Republicans have just got to get on this because honestly, in 2020, let's say that President Trump wins, it's still, remember how we talked about how in 2018 it wasn't really a friendly map for Democrats? So even when they had this kind of wave in the House, it was a tougher map. They were losing seats in the Senate. The Claire McCaskill types were going down and you know, North Dakota going down. And so like Heitkamp, and that was because it was a tough Senate map for Democrats. That switches, right, Than, in the next go-around. So these Senate Republicans, even if President Trump is reelected, they should be getting every nominee they can confirmed while they've got power because it's not a given that just because President Trump gets elected that they retain the Senate.
Yeah, no question about it. I think it's going to be a big factor. And the other thing I would say, Jordan, I mean, remember, it was Harry Reid that changed the precedent in the United States Senate that it only required 50 votes to confirm lower court judges. Then Leader McConnell extended that to the Supreme Court. But, Jordan, even though the threshold for the confirmation has been lowered from 60 to 50, you still have a requirement that each nominee that comes forward gets 30 hours of debate after cloture has been invoked. So basically, after the filibuster has been broken and the confirmation is going to happen. Jordan, one of the things that's being talked about right now is using the constitutional option or the nuclear option, not to change the vote threshold for confirmation, but to actually change the required amount of debate time that is available. For example, one of the things available to the United States Senate would say, rather than 30 hours of debate for lower courts, you could reduce it to 2 or 8. Or Jordan, how about this? How about say if there's actually no senator debating, then you can go ahead and have the vote. As it stands now, they have to run 30 hours of clock, whether or not there's a United States senator on the floor. So the bottom line here, Jordan, is there's a lot of ways that the Republican Senate could move this along. To date, they have not been willing to do so. I'm hearing rumblings that they're getting closer. Yeah. But honestly, this is not just a Democrat problem in the United States Senate. There's a role for Republicans to play.
30 hours of debate on most district court nominees that get no debate at all. And the ones that do get debate, then you would say they would keep the debate open so long as there's senators there debating it. So if there was one that was controversial at the district court level, I think at the court of appeals level, you do a little bit shorter time. Maybe it's a 10-hour, maybe it's an 8-hour, like you said. And the Supreme Court can remain kind of the same, having this kind of – because those, every senator does want to speak out on, and it makes sense. But it is, I think, important to note that out of the 168 vacancies, I mean, there's 64 pending nominations. Not like President Trump and the White House haven't – been putting forward qualified nominees to the Senate. It is really the timing of the U.S. Senate, and I think they need to feel some heat under their feet because I think you always assume the worst. Assume that you won't have this kind of power, and you've got the 50 vote threshold right now is all you need.
Yep.
Assume that you won't have that power in the next year and a half.
We got an interesting question come in. It came in via Facebook. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Kenneth writes, does this tie in with the push for socialism? Let me say something on this. So when FDR was having trouble with the New Deal, he devised a court packing plan, Harry. I mean, that was the approach upon which he was going to, the court was ruling against him on the New Deal. He was going to pack the court. So Kenneth's question, does this tie in with the new push for socialism? I think the answer is yes.
I think you're absolutely correct. Indeed, if you look at President Roosevelt's presidency, he was, at least operationally at least, trying to move the country on the road toward socialism, centralization, the expansion of government. And so we have seen an enormous rise in the power and the size of government, particularly during FDR's presidency. But now, the new leftists, they're not content with planning to destroy the economy and eliminate jobs through the Green New Deal. They're not content with their plan to destroy health insurance through Medicare for All. The left has now turned their attention to a number of other avenues, including changing the Electoral College and packing the United States Supreme Court. At the end of the day, it's all about power, and I think the Republicans need to grow some courage and to recognize that they will face headwinds from the Democrats who are filibustering all of Trump's nominees, essentially, and the Republicans need to remove archaic rules which delay the confirmation of well-qualified nominees right now.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We want to know from you how important the issue of federal judges relates to your political philosophy, your worldview. Judges are important. I mean, I think it's the lasting legacy of any president. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, Robert's called in from Maryland online, too. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. And hi, Dan. I wanted to ask all three of you, what do you believe are the reasons that the Democrats are doing everything they can to delay the confirmation of the judges that are being appointed by President Trump? And I am familiar with the court packing scheme with FDR, and it sounds like the Democrats are attempting to do that again. Yet it went down in flames the last time it was tried.
You're right. It did go down in flames. It was exactly when you had this, you know, a new deal pending, and it was the president saw an agenda. President Roosevelt saw his agenda getting swallowed up in the courts. So what you have is, I think, look, it's serious. I think that this is something they would move if they had the House, the Senate, and the White House. It's an attempt to impact generations because the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, the federal district courts, these are the lasting legacies of any president because it goes for generations. So justices that are on the court now at 50 years old or 48 years old are going to be serving for another 40 years. So it's multi-generational. So that's what they realize is at stake. And I think what's happening is with all of the shift to the left, and it's been such a hard shift to the left, the Green New Deal, the whole Alexandria Cortez wing of the party, the Tlaib wing of the party, that this is a way to get power. And also, you've got law professors like Lawrence Tribe from Harvard and others that are trying to push this. So, Than, the question is, what do the Republicans do to combat it besides win an election? And that is get more judges confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think Robert asked the proper question because I think there's only one reason these seats are being held open is because the left in Washington, D.C. wants them to ultimately be held by judges who hold an expansive view of the Constitution, and so they're willing to hold them open at any cost. Jay, what the Republicans need to do, in my view, is extraordinarily simple. Just fulfill their duties under the United States Constitution, consider, vote, and confirm the ones who are qualified. And Jay, it really is all of a timing issue. I think it's time to put in a tiered approach where the highest level nominees, whether it's cabinet officials or the Supreme Court, might get 30 hours of post-cloture debate. But Jay, judges who aren't controversial, they should be confirmed without much debate if there's not debate to be had. Jay, if there's no senator on the floor of the United States Senate, why are we running clock if no one wants to debate them? That is entirely within the control of Senate Republicans as we speak.
Look, I think that you're coming into the last 2 years of the first term of the Trump presidency. I mean, we're already in that period. So every day that's going by, you get closer and closer to an election. When you get closer to an election, it's harder to get judges confirmed. That's just fact. And that's the reality that we have. So understand what's at play here. We want your reaction to all this. This push to pack the court if the Democrats win the House and Senate and the White House. Your reaction to this. 1-800-684-3110. We've got a petition up at aclj.org. Confirmed conservative judges now. We encourage you to sign it. We're also in a matching challenge. Jordan's going to let you know what you can do on that.
Yeah, folks, you go to aclj.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see the matching challenge right at the top of the homepage at aclj.org. You click that, you make your donation, you put in your credit card information, you choose whatever amount you want to give. And whatever amount you want to give will be matched this month. This is our first matching challenge month of the year. So a $30 donation, that will be matched with $30. Now, you'll only be charged $30, but the effect is a $60 donation to the ACLJ. Do it today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Court packing, what does it mean? Let's define it first. So there's a plan right now that's being, really Eric Holder and others, that basically it's, we need to get control. This is what they're saying. We need to get control of the Supreme Court. They don't like the Trump nominees. So if the Democrats get the White House back and they get the House and the Senate, let's pack the court. How do you pack the court? Well, all you have to do is pass in the House and Senate, and the president signs legislation that increases the number of justices on the court. So they want to increase it by five, only if a Democrat wins, by the way. Not if President Trump or a Republican wins, but only if someone left of center wins, then they want to add the five justices. That would require the House, the Senate, and the White House. Doesn't require a constitutional amendment. Now, some of the proposals that are out there, including this idea that you're going to elevate five alternating judges to the Supreme Court, that would require a constitutional amendment. But the fact is, they are moving in a way to reestablish how the court would function so that it could promote the agenda. But could you imagine the reaction? What do you think? I'll ask this to our audience. What do you think the reaction would be if President Trump were to announce tomorrow that he's going to add six justices to the Supreme, or five justices to the Supreme Court of the United States? How do you think that would go over? Take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. But Harry, historically it's been tried. It was FDR. What was his purpose?
Well, his purpose was basically to enhance his own power over the United States economy. So if you look at the New Deal, most of the legislation was what is called social welfare legislation. First, it was the National Industrial Recovery Act. The United States Supreme Court invalidated that. The United States Supreme Court invalidated other proposals. Then came the National Labor Relations Act. And the president was very fearful that the Supreme Court would overturn that. But in Jones and Laughlin, a case decided in the latter part of the 1930s, through a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court upheld that legislation. And many people believe that the reason the Supreme Court shifted was because they were afraid of the president and his power, that if they didn't move in his direction, either he would have them removed or he would pack the Supreme Court. So that's just a little bit of the history.
So Becky on Facebook, I said this during the break, asked this question. Is it too much to ask for judges to be confirmed in a timely manner? Why is it so difficult for the Senate to get things done? Fan?
It's not difficult. It requires a will for both the president and the United States Senate to do the duty that was given to them by the United States Constitution. Jay, the White House has done a good job of this. There are currently 64 judicial nominees pending in the United States Senate. Jay, 46 of them are on the Senate floor ready for a vote. And the reason it has taken so long to get through them is because virtually every nominee is being filibustered. So you have to not only invoke cloture, but then you have to debate that nominee for 30 hours. The question coming in from Becky, Jay, how would it be possible to move through them faster? It's very simple. A simple majority of the United States Senate could do the same thing that Harry Reid did and the same thing that Leader McConnell did to lower the threshold of votes required. Jay, they could use the same procedure to reduce the required amount of debate time. And I would tell you this, it wouldn't actually reduce the debate, because when that clock is running, if you turn on the United States Senate floor, there is almost never a United States senator down there actually debating. They're just running the clock.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead. We're taking calls. 1-800-684-3110.
George in Kentucky on line one. George, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, George.
Thank you for taking my call, sir. My question is, they just confirmed some judges to go on the Ninth Circuit Court. When will they actually be on the court to start taking cases?
Well, once they're confirmed, they get sworn in. So that's immediate. So once the confirmation process is done, they get sworn in, and then they're sitting on the court. So that takes place quickly. What Than is saying is that there's these – how many vacancies do we have right now, Than?
There are 168 either currently vacant or we know the vacancy is upon us imminently.
So while they are getting judges confirmed, There are just, you know, you're basically looking at almost a 17% vacancy rate. And that is significant because as the election gets closer, I mean, it's hard to believe we're talking about 2020 already. But just think, we're midway through, we're the third of the way through March. We're going to be at June before we turn around. You're going to be talking about primaries a year from now or less. And then it stops. I mean, it's very difficult to get the judges move forward. I mean, that's the problem here. Yeah. So you're just running out of time. They are trying to literally run out the clock.
So one Ninth Circuit nominee, just talk about the Ninth Circuit quickly, is just awaiting the vote on the Senate floor. That's Bridget Shelton Bade. There are three Ninth Circuit nominees awaiting Senate Judiciary Committee hearings. Two have hearings scheduled for tomorrow. One does not have a hearing scheduled yet. So there's four right there. One could be voted on immediately by the Senate and be on the court, as you said, within a day. And then three more who could go through the process and still be on the court very quickly. And that's just in the Ninth Circuit. So I think that you look at these 60-plus that are nominated right now by the Trump administration, the 64 pending nominations. I think that you just got to get the Senate moving on these. The district court nomination should be very quick. Most circuit court nominations quick as well, and get the vote scheduled on the Senate floor and make them get to work on this.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've got an opposed call. We like taking those. Let's go ahead and do it.
Brian calling in from North Carolina online, too. Brian, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Brian, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, I was hearing you guys talking about the nominations not coming up and people are not voting on those nominations. Man, I think I don't know how many nominations or open seats President Obama had that the Republican Party never even thought about bringing up. And then Donald Trump is trying to pack the courts just as well. But you guys say that that's only a Democratic type of situation.
Well, he's not trying to. I mean, I don't think you mean, Brian, that he's trying to pack the court, because what they mean by court packing is adding additional justices. So right now the Supreme Court's nine. So the proposal by Professor Tribe and Eric Holder, the former attorney general under Barack Obama, is to increase that, if there's a Democratic president, by at least five or six. So you basically would get to 15, say. So that's what court packing is. The confirmation process that you're talking about is actually what Article 2, the president nominates and appoints, with the advice and consent of Congress, judges to the Supreme Court and the lower and the inferior courts, as they're called. So that's nothing unusual there. And President Obama got a lot of judges. Listen, he reshaped the judiciary. Dan, I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, I would say two things, Jay. First of all, at this point in President Obama's presidency, only 11.6% of the federal judiciary was vacant. So I actually think the United States Senate did a much better job of confirming his nominees. But here's the point, Jay. We are not saying that the Senate must confirm or must block a judge. We are saying it is the Senate's right and obligation to do as they see fit. So quite frankly, if a nominee comes to the United States Senate under any president that they don't want, Jay, they do not have to confirm them. But what we are saying is the entity that has the constitutional authority and ability to address these 168 vacancies is the United States Senate. If they wanted to be serious about filling these, they absolutely could.
I think that's absolutely correct. But this is the fight we're in. All right, we are going into the next half hour, and we've got a lot to talk about. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Nancy Pelosi says no impeachment. What does that mean? We'll talk about that coming up after the break. That was her. She said she was going to make news yesterday. She did. We'll talk about that. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge.
Yeah, matching challenge up at aclj.org. This is the first matching challenge month of the year. What does that mean? Whatever you donate is doubled. So you can double the impact of your donation. We have donors who are ready to match every donation that comes through. So if you donate right now $40 at aclj.org, we have a donor ready to match that $40. So effectively, you've triggered an $80 to the American Center for Law and Justice. Go online today and make that donation at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom. We will fight for
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You had a couple of moving parts on this broadcast this week, or today. One is you've got Eric Holder and Lawrence Tribe and others promoting this idea of court packing if the Democrats get the House, Senate, and White House. In other words, adding judges to the Supreme Court, which you could do statutorily. It doesn't take a constitutional amendment to do that. So go from, say, 9 to 15. And this way they assure their agenda is being put forward. So that's one aspect of what's going on right now. And I think if you look at the Green New Deal and kind of these progressive moves, this is kind of, Harry, that this is where they're going. How do we, if they get in power, how do they then defend it?
Absolutely. So they are afraid that principal judges and justices on the Supreme Court might thwart their plan, essentially to destroy, or to use their preferred phrase, transform the economy. And what does this transformation consist of? It means retrofitting virtually every house, every structure in America. It means eliminating fossil fuels, which, according to one environmentalist, would mean there would be virtually no trees left on Earth because people would start to burn the trees. They also believe in Medicare for all, and they believe essentially in an enormous power grab. And one of their fears is that a principled Supreme Court would actually thwart this particular process. And so
it's a both political, it's a judicial move to affirm a political position.
Precisely. And so in the past, progressives have seen the United States Supreme Court as their ally. And now, as progressives continue to move further and further to the left, they are afraid of the United States Supreme Court. They are afraid that President Trump has begun, at least, to reshape the United States Supreme Court. And so they're moving so far to the left that, according to one particular individual, it's now possible that Bernie Sanders, a committed socialist, has become the new moderate face of the Democratic Party.
He is the moderate. And this is what's so ironic because, I mean, you got the Cortez's comments at South by Southwest, big conference. Take a listen to this.
We've strayed so far away from what has really made us powerful and just and good and equitable and productive. And so I think all of these things sound radical compared to where we are, but where we are is not a good thing. And this idea of like 10% better from garbage shouldn't be what we settle for.
So the progressive wing of the Democratic Party is pushing this agenda very aggressively. They want the courts to back it up, Jordan. That's what this is.
Yeah,
then pack the courts to get your result because they certainly don't think the conservative justices are going to say this is okay.
And they're pushing all of the Democrat members. I mean, this is a small group of elected officials, very young, but they're raising a lot of money. They're getting a lot of media attention. And so they are pushing the more senior presidential candidates from the Democrats to adopt many of these positions. So in effect, even though they wouldn't, I don't think any of those candidates would have been doing this on their own, they are feeling the pressure to adopt these positions, which are very radical. In their tone. And when positions are very radical at a time when the economy is doing good in America, people wonder, why are we going radical now? Why do we need radical change right now when the economy has been good for American worker, when it's been much better for the top and the bottom of the economy, people moving up and out of government assistance programs? So I think that, again, it's actually the only time these ideas get to foster is when these people have time to even think about them because they don't like have to work
right.
And worry about paying their bills. So they have time to come up with new ways to mess up the country.
There you go. All right. We're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Confirm conservative judges of the petition that's up. Also, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign. You do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. When we come back, we'll take your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. And then Nancy Pelosi issues kind of a statement, I guess, to the left of her party with the no impeachment line. We'll get into some of that as well. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So part of what's going on here is you got this, the left is going further left. So as they move further to the left, and they're going to start putting their agenda forward, and if there was a change in the White House, they're saying, well, how do we get our policies implemented into law if they're going to be challenged in court? Pack the court. Add six new justices to the Supreme Court of whoever the Democratic president would be if there was that kind of result in an election, and there you have it. So that's what you got to be looking for as this moves forward. So that's what's going on here. Let's go ahead and take phone calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Linda's calling in from Washington State online too. Linda, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Linda. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I understand there are like 168 vacancies. My question is it possible to put like all the court nominees up at the same time and they can debate the ones they have concerns with that run the clock on the rest of them?
You know, it's an interesting question. So, Than, is there any – let's talk about that. I mean, you're not going to have them all put up at the same time because of the Senate rules. So what is the response to this idea? Like you said, do we go with time limits? Because you said when they had the, quote, debate on the floor of the Senate, there's generally nobody on the Senate floor.
Yeah, so there's a couple things here, Jay. Sometimes at the end of a session, they do put a group of nominees on the floor together and ask for unanimous consent, work out a deal with the minority, and a group of them is passed all at once. But, Jay, the Senate does have a constitutional right to vote against a nominee if they want to. So when there is objection or opposition to a nominee, you're not going to see numerous judges voted for at once. However, there is nothing keeping Leader McConnell from shrinking the amount of time for debate on these nominees or, Jay, just for working longer. I mean, the United States Senate could stay through a weekend and put up nominee after nominee after nominee and then just force the Democrats to vote against them if they wanted to. And if they could get a simple majority against a nominee, that nominee would fall. Here's the bottom line. The United States Senate, if they want to, Jay, they can move a whole lot faster. And that 168 number of vacancies, that can shrink in a hurry.
But the lasting legacy, Harry, of any president is their nominees to the court, certainly the Supreme Court, but even the Court of Appeals. Certainly, and even the district court judges. So what you've got is you look at a progressive agenda being put forward by the Alexandria Cortez group of the Democratic Party. They know that will be challenged in court. So how do you beat back the challenge? Pack the court. In other words, not there's a vacancy and you appoint a justice. Create six new vacancies.
That's correct.
By legislation.
So one of the things that frustrates progressives the most is not being able to move quickly enough. And so rather than wait for vacancies to come up as part of a normal process, for instance, with respect to the Supreme Court, they are prepared to move very, very quickly and perhaps add 6 justices. And I think there are some proposals out there that would add even more than that number. Essentially, even though they claim to support fairness, the principles, and justice, it's all about power. And so anything that stands in their way, they are prepared to move aside, whether it means violating the Constitution, the rule of law, or the traditions that the American people favor. And that is a problem. But in the meantime, the Republicans need to grow a backbone and make sure that every single nominee by President Trump is in fact confirmed.
And the closer it gets to an election, the more difficult that is.
Absolutely.
Of course. I mean, then the slowdown begins. It's slower because, listen, a third of the Senate's up for re-election. The president is up for re-election. So you've got your nominees that you've kind of put forward for that year. That's going to be it. But the Senate schedule's all over the place. And again, it's good that the House isn't part of this process because they're all up for re-election every 2 years. So I think what has to be made clear is that you can move a lot faster in the district court, as Stan said. You can move much faster on the Court of Appeals with the 50-vote threshold. I mean, I think when we did away this idea of any kind of filibuster on judicial nominees at all, it should make the process much quicker. And if you need to schedule a bunch of 30-hour debates right now to do it, just schedule them.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Gilbert in California, on line 3. Gilbert, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hey, Gilbert.
Hello, gentlemen. Hey. Simple solution for packing the courts. You say they're moving fast to do it? Fine, let's move faster. Have Trump do it. They'll deny it. We're done with it. If they don't deny it, we got our people in for the next 100, 150 years. Settled.
Well, there you go. But here's the problem. The House, you have to pass legislation. So the House would never pass the legislation. So the only way this court packing program works is if, this is the only way it works, is if the House, the Senate, and the White House are controlled by the same party. That's the only way this thing works. But the frustration level, and we got this, Barbara on Facebook says this, how can we put pressure on the Senate to get these judges confirmed, Fan? We've talked about the vacancies. How do we move it forward?
Well, that's really been front and center for us here out of this office, Jay, and we're asking people to stand with us, signing our petition. We will take those names to your senator to let them know that you want them to move faster. Jay, there are a number of ways they can do it, but I would just tell the caller this. I mean, you don't need to pack the court right now. There are 168 vacancies that the president has a constitutional right to fill. It is the United States Senate that needs to work with him to do it. And, Jay, I'll give you one more reason that people should be really fired up about this. It's not just because they want it. The left in Washington, D.C. wants to add seats when they resume power. They also want to fill the seats that are open right now. It's a two-pronged approach for them. So the one that is clearly within the president's constitutional authority to do is to fill the 168 seats that are vacant. And if you want to see his nominees confirmed by the United States Senate, I would start by signing our petition. We are working on that right now to make U.S. senators aware of how our members feel on it.
All right, let me change topics a little bit. So Nancy Pelosi made a little bit of news yesterday. And there's this whole discussion of whether, based on the forthcoming report from Robert Mueller, whether there'll be impeachment proceedings. Now, there's all kinds of reports that, or at least indications that the report could be coming as early as Friday, at least delivered from the Office of Special Counsel's Office to the Attorney General, which is pursuant to the regulation. So what that means is the document would be delivered from Bob Mueller's office to Bill Barr's office, and then Bill Barr would determine, as the Attorney General, what's released to the United States Congress and to the American people. That's the way the regulations are set up. But all this impeachment talk has been going on, but here's what Nancy Pelosi said. Let me read it. Okay, very important. This was to Washington Post magazine. I'm not for impeachment. That's a big statement. This is news. I'm going to give you some news right now because I've not said this to any press person before. And then she says, but since you asked, and this is, again, coming from Nancy Pelosi, but since you've asked, and I've been thinking about this, impeachment is so divisive to the country that unless there is something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan, I don't think we should go down that path because it divides the country, and he, talking about President Trump, is just not worth it. And then a follow-up question was asked. Here's what she said.
I just don't believe in it. They wanted me to impeach President Bush for the Iraq War. I didn't believe in it then. I don't believe in it now. It divides the country unless there's some conclusive evidence that takes us to that place.
So what's your sense of that, Jordan?
I think what Nancy Pelosi is doing, because as Speaker of the House, is giving an out to Democrats who are, so it's a smart strategic move, Democrats who are facing this pressure to bring impeachment, because it starts in the House. So these nominees who are running for these presidential candidates who will be asked this continually throughout the, even by their own constituents, I think they're going to get a lot of pressure from the left. Why aren't you moving? Why aren't you moving? Well, many of them are in the U.S. Senate. They can point to Nancy Pelosi and say, listen, the Speaker of the House, this is up to the House of Representatives to start this process, and she has said she will not. So, I mean, it kind of gives a way of, well, I may be different on that, but it's not going to move forward because the House Speaker is not going to allow it. So I think she'll take a lot of heat from the left, the far left from this, but I think she is being honest about it. It would divide the country. It is absurd. And it is, and she knows from politics, it just backfires on the party who does it.
Dan, what's your sense of that?
Yeah, I think Jordan's correct. I mean, I think she's trying to walk a delicate political line. I think she knows with it beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's overreach, that it would be politically toxic to go down that road. And I think she's trying to keep her conference from going down that road. Jay, it's interesting, though, because at the same time, she's working with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to target some of the so-called moderate Democrats who have not been voting with Democrats on some amendments to some bills, some politically sensitive votes. So I think, Jay, she's trying to walk a line inside her conference. She's trying to placate the left by working with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez while holding them off the impeachment line, because she knows that that would be damaging to their reelection prospects.
Well, I think Fan is correct. I think Nancy Pelosi is trying to rein in the radical resistance in her own party. But I also think it may indeed be too late. I think the leftists in the party already feel empowered.
Yep.
And so you look at what happened when they tried to pass a resolution with respect to Representative Omar. AOC and her forces combined essentially to thwart that. And so I think Nancy Pelosi is afraid to some extent of the left wingers in her party.
I think that's true, Jordan. I think that's what, and I think that tampering down the here's what's going on right now. Tampering down the expectations of what's going to be in the Mueller report. They're tampering down. That's why they say they got to have independent investigations. They're tampering down this impeachment talk. It's all part of a process.
Yeah, that's right. I think that they realize they could, again, if they oversell and then they'll underdeliver to their liberal base, that just means less turnout for them in an election, which I think is going to be pretty tough for Democrats.
Yeah. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Last segment. Take your questions on any topic, 1-800-684-3110. Get them in on Facebook and Periscope as well. We've got some music coming up for our Facebook and Periscope audience. But again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, last segment of the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Also, take your comments via Facebook and Periscope. Let's go right to the phones, last segment, so you can talk to us pretty much about anything.
John's calling from Washington State on line one. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good,
thanks,
sir,
for everything that you do. You all do such a great job.
Thanks.
I'm calling about the importance of selecting judges that will have a conservative perspective on all the decisions they make. That's very important to me, and I hope I get that word. That word goes to our two senators.
Well, look, I mean, when you're talking about a conservative judicial philosophy, originalists, this is the last thing. Harry, we say it over and over again, but this is literally the lasting legacy of the president, is the Supreme Court nominees, because it's multi-generational.
I think that's correct, but I also think the left fully understands that originalist justices on the Supreme Court or originalist jurists on the lower courts, they are an impediment to the goals and objectives of progressives. Essentially, the goal and objective of most progressives, is simply power. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez argued against concentrations of wealth and concentrations of power. But in reality, she supports the concentration of wealth and the concentration of power so long as it is in Washington, D.C. And the judiciary can block that. So the progressives understand that, and so they now want to pack the United States Supreme Court, and they want to filibuster President Trump's nominees.
So, Than, block the president's nominees now, get in power, and add 6 seats to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, block the seats that are vacant now so they can fill them when they have their president in the White House, as well as add seats. And I would just say to John, who just called in, look, Patty Murray, who's one of your senators, she's one of the main problems here, Jay, on a number of issues, including the Born Alive bill that we talked about a few weeks ago. But she is one of the ones that in the past has talked about adding seats to the Supreme Court as well as the Ninth Circuit. And, Jay, I would just tell you this. We've seen this playbook before. When the American people choose a different path, when they go to the polls and they vote for lawmakers who will not uphold the left's ideology, the left turns to the court. We've seen it before. We're seeing it again. And frankly, the state of Washington, where John's calling in from, that is one of the epicenters that we face opposition, Jay.
Tiffany on Facebook asked this, talking about another topic. Why the shift in rhetoric from Nancy Pelosi on the impeachment issue?
I think because she knows it's not doable. It's not smart politically. And so she's trying to give cover to fellow Democrats, especially those running for president. But all of those who will be up for reelection, who will be at town halls, who will be pushed on this by their constituents. I don't think it's not really something that comes up in the final presidential three debates, because if you've gotten to that point, that's not the issue. It's the liberal constituents are going to be asking the candidates top of the ballot on down. So whether you're a Democrat running for president, Senate, House, you're going to be asked about, should the president be impeached? Should the president be impeached? And you could kind of now say whatever you want, but then point to Nancy Pelosi as speaker, saying she's not going to allow us to move in that way.
So one of the things, Harry, I think, is that this lowering the expectations. It's an expectation game here is what Jordan's saying. I think it's right. Lowering the expectations. So you get the Speaker of the House to come out there and say, listen, impeachment basically not on the table.
I think that's correct. And your point about lowered expectations is very, very important, because now the Democrats have lowered their expectations with respect to the special counsel's report, and hence there will not likely be any reasonable basis for impeachment. On the other hand, Nancy Pelosi has to now try to rein in the radical resistance movement within the Democratic Party, and that is very, very tough, because I think that particular genie is already out of the bottle.
So Sharon on Facebook says, what are the negative effects of having these vacancies on our justice system? Well, it affects the president's constitutional responsibility of nominating judges to the various courts. And it has a long-term effect as well. But then we're getting into the season. We're about 9 months away, maybe a year away, from when the judicial nomination process is going to, unless something changes, is going to grind to a halt.
Well, and the thing is, Jay, the federal judiciary touches every area of your life. It impacts your ability to get your case heard, to be able to get expeditious review if there are extraordinary vacancies. And, Jay, I think all we have to do is look at last week's victory that we had in New York for a reason that it is important to have judges that take the law seriously. But you're right. We're fast approaching campaign season. We're making new nominations where the case for bringing nominees who might be deemed controversial by the left will become increasingly harder to make. So I think no matter what your issue is, you care about the federal judiciary because it reaches into every area of our life. But politics always slows this down at the end, Jay. And if these vacancies are going to be filled, many of them need to happen pretty quickly.
Will's tell is the first Democratic presidential debate is in June of this year.
Yeah. I mean, so full-on campaign mode starts in just a couple months. Just a couple months away, 2.5 months away from really just getting into full gear on the Democrat side. And then Republicans as well. That means the president will be spending more time out on the road, out on the campaign trail. Washington does slow down. I mean, it's part of the process with these campaigns. And they seem to be getting longer and longer and more expensive and more expensive. But that part of the process is then spending the time with the voters, whether it's the debates. And I think the Democrats are facing a lot of very similar to what Republicans had last go around, which is a giant field and possibly these two-tiered debate systems necessary because so many people are running for president.
So Phil on Facebook said, I think the left always tries to find ways to attack conservatives, whether it's packing the court or using the IRS as a weapon against the Tea Party. That's why our office, our Government Accountability Project, has been so successful in these FOIA cases that we were giving. And if you didn't catch the broadcast yesterday, we had a great win in New York on a life issue. Imagine winning a case in New York City on abortion in front of a judge. And we did in favor of crisis pregnancy centers. So a big win, yes, last week in court in New York. But again, I think it is clear that it's weaponizing. They weaponized the judiciary. Court packing weaponizes the judiciary.
Well, I don't think it's any accident either that they turn to the judiciary or the bureaucracy, Jay, because the ideology of the left is not popular across America. I think we can say it pretty clearly. And quite frankly, I think some of Speaker Pelosi's so-called at least attempt at moderation is because the next election, Jay, the control of the United States House is not going to be determined in San Francisco. It's right. Going to be determined in districts where impeachment is not a popular idea. But the bureaucracy or the judiciary, Jay, are places where the left has been able to achieve victory without having to take their ideas in front of the scrutiny of the American people. Jay, when the American people speak on these ideas, they don't choose them. They reject them.
So, Harry, the big issue for the upcoming election, what do you think it'll be?
Well, I think the big issue in the upcoming election will be the Green New Deal and what some analysts call the Corbynization of the Democratic Party in the United States. Will the American people vote for a hard left candidate? Or as the leftists become crazier and crazier, will they continue to support the incumbent?
But is Bernie Sanders now viewed as a moderate?
I mean, I don't think he's viewed as a moderate, but I think he's mainstream. And that's what's scary, is that he may still be radical, but he's seen in the mainstream of American politics right now, not outside the mainstream. And that, I think, is a losing strategy for Democrats. But I think that whoever that Democrat nominee is, the big question for me in that race is how much of the Bernie Sanders type, if it's not him, how much do they have to embrace of these kind of policies to get the nomination? How far left do they have to go? And do they actually verge out of the mainstream to do that, thus basically guaranteeing defeat?
All right, don't forget the ACLJ Masking Challenge at ACLJ.org. For those on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends right now. Play a little music for you as a bonus to today's program. Here we go.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.